Romans 3, verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If your Bible is like mine, the paragraph that begins in verse 21 goes down through verse 26. I wonder if you know that there are several very fine people in the history of the church who have said a very remarkable statement about this paragraph. They have said it is the most important paragraph that has ever been written in human history. When I was first a follower of Christ, when I first came to know and understand something of what it meant that Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross of Calvary for me, I went home. It was after a summer camp experience, a Young Life camp. And when I got back home, I had a Young Life leader who decided that this new Christian needed to study the book of Romans. And he took me through the book of Romans the very first summer that I was a follower of the Lord's. And when we came to this paragraph, I literally stood up when I read it for the first time and I said, "That's it. That's what I believe." And I want in some ways to communicate to you some of the "that's it" quality to just these couple of verses. It's my intent down the road in several months to begin a study with you on Sunday morning on the book of Romans. And we're going to go through at least the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans together on Sunday mornings. And so we'll come back to this passage later on and we'll treat it more fully, but I want you to see something about just the couple of verses that we began this morning. These verses, which some say are the most important words that have ever been penned in the human language. What they tell us is that there is a righteousness that comes from God. Some translations have translated this opening phrase that there is a righteousness of God. And sometimes what is meant by that is the notion that God is a righteous being. He is holy and full of moral rectitude. And therefore there is a righteousness of God that we have somehow come to see, which is to say that there was a revelation then of the good character of God. That is not what this passage teaches. And the NIV has correctly translated the little preposition not of God, but from God. Because the notion here is that there is a righteousness which God has given, has revealed, has dynamically brought to bear into our consciousness. And that there is a righteousness from God that He has made known. And He has done so now, as Paul puts it. Now, meaning at his historical time, the time of Christ's coming, the time of Christ's living, and his death on the cross and his resurrection was in time and space and in history the concrete evidence of God's revelation of a new and previously misunderstood or not understood at all righteousness from Him. The question is, what is this righteousness? What is the righteousness of God? It is an absolutely key word in the whole large book of Romans, and yet it is a word that is very much misunderstood often by God's people. We think of righteousness like the Greeks did, ethical righteousness. We think of righteousness in terms of character. You are a righteous person if you do the right thing. And indeed, in some places in Scripture, there is that, certainly that background to the word, but it means much more than that. No, righteousness from God has something more important to say to us than ethical goodness, than just being a good person. Let me put it to you this way. Imagine what God's standard is. God's standard, you might say, is 100% goodness. And every human being exists on a scale somewhere between 0 and 100. Mother Teresa, probably about a 92, wouldn't you say? How about an axe murderer? 3. Well, you're probably saying that you fall somewhere in between the axe murderer and Mother Teresa. The problem with this whole way of thinking about righteousness is that it communicates subtly to us that if we just keep working hard enough, if we just keep trying enough, someday we'll maybe get up close to Mother Teresa, and maybe someday, maybe right before we get ready to go to heaven, the Lord will zap us in a way that will help us be just almost there. What we fail to realize is that there is between 99.99999 and 100 an absolute infinity of distance. Because God's righteousness is so radically different, over and above, far greater, altogether different than any form of human righteousness. And therefore, for us to interpret righteousness as something that we strive for and that we try and do is to misunderstand the core of the notion. Keeping an ethical standard is not going to get me there. God's righteousness is of a not just a matter of a different quantity of righteousness, it is of a different quality of righteousness altogether. Righteousness, in fact, ultimately is not an ethical standard at all. It is, hear me now, friends, a legal standing. It is God's pronouncement of acquittal on us. Righteousness is not something I do or obtain by my conduct. Righteousness is the gift of God which comes to those who have placed their trust in the righteous one, Jesus Christ. Righteousness is the gift of acquittal. It is the pronouncement that though I am guilty ethically, God gives to me a righteousness that I do not earn, I cannot ever deserve. In other words, righteousness in the book of Romans and righteousness in the Bible is ultimately not goodness. It's acceptance by God. In the New Testament, righteousness is not my achievement, but it is the gift of God, the gift of the standing that I have before God that is what? What standing do I have before God if I put my trust in Jesus Christ? Think with me now. You have the standing of Christ Himself, and that's a gift. In other words, you obtain by the gift of God's grace the righteousness of Christ. And Christ obtains, by out of obedience to God, the sentence of your guilt. When we say that there is a righteousness from God which has been revealed, we therefore mean two things that the words I'm going to give you now are maybe funny words, but they're very helpful if you think about them. First of all, we mean that the righteousness we have is what is called imputed. We might say today it's imported. It's an imported righteousness. It comes from outside of ourselves. It is not of us. It is attributed to me. Mine is the sin we just sang, thine the righteousness. And the righteousness that we get as a gift of God is not my own. It comes as a gift from God, and it is the righteousness of Christ imported, imputed to me. And the second word that is sometimes used to describe this righteousness is that it is an alien righteousness. That's a funny word, makes us sound like, think of some sort of science fiction movie perhaps. But the notion of the word alien is simply foreign. That is to say, this righteousness is utterly foreign to you and me. There is none of it in ourselves. There is nothing of it in us. It comes from and must come from outside. And it comes to us forcefully and dynamically. That's what the word in this sentence means when it says that the righteousness from God is revealed. That word revealed doesn't mean just disclosed. It means forcefully and dynamically brought to bear upon the sinner's life. Brothers and sisters, if God does not reveal, dynamically impress you with an alien righteousness that is not your own, you are forever incapable of getting over the hurdle from 99.9999 to 100. You will never get there. Never. But what God gives us in the gospel is an imputed alien righteousness that is not our own. It is the gift of God. The same idea is in Psalm 98, verse 2, where the psalmist cries out, "The Lord has made his salvation known." And that doesn't just mean he's sort of talked about it behind closed doors. He has made it known. And the psalmist goes on to say, "And revealed his righteousness to the nations." I hope you see by now that this righteousness is not an abstract quality. It's not even just a notion of God's goodness, which somehow I share. No, the word, the notion, the idea of righteousness is attached to Jesus Christ. That's why when he says in this passage that it is a righteousness that from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And when Paul says in Jesus Christ, what he means is in all that Jesus was and did, the whole person of work, everything that he is personally, historically, officially, all of his titles, Savior, Redeemer, Lord, everything that Christ is for you and for me in the gospel. Everything. The imputed alien righteousness of Jesus Christ is given to you as a gift of God's grace. You did not earn it. You did not deserve it. You cannot obtain it by your own effort. It comes, according to this passage from God's word, in only one way, and that is by believing that it's true, by believing that Jesus Christ died for you, by believing that in a few minutes when I take bread and break it, it is a symbol of Christ's body which was broken for you. And when we take a cup in a few minutes, it is the cup of Christ's blood which was poured out for you. Dear friends, what is the problem with faith? I'll tell you what the problem with faith is. Guess who is not in control when the only way to obtain this righteousness is by faith? Guess who gets out of the driver's seat? Guess who can't make God do what I want him to do when I want him to do it? Guess who is on the receiving end of what God, by his grace, gives me as an act of his sovereign mercy? Guess who? The problem with faith is that I can't control what I receive by it. It is simply opening my heart, my life, and it is leaning on the mercy of God. Where in your life do you need to know the mercy of God this morning? Where in your life do you need again the reminder that you may have by faith, and only by faith, the gift of the alien righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that you may stand before God not in your sin, but in His perfection. Where are you weak? Where, hear me, where are you a sinner? Because it is where you sin in head and heart and hand and action today, it is that's where you most need Him today. Where are you out of control in your life? Where is there a habit or a pattern or a thought or a disposition that you are unable to control? Where? That's where you need Him. That's where all this about righteousness comes crashing home to you, I hope. You need an alien righteousness. You need what Paul talked about when he compared this righteousness in the first chapter to the power of God. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is revealed the power of God. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, he went on to say. Wherever you are out of control in your life, thank God for it. You know what our tendency is when we're out of control? To get control. I'm out of control in my life financially? Get control. I'm out of control in my life in raising my kids? Get control. I'm out of control in my life in feeling that somehow my life is purposeless? I go find purpose. But I'm wanting to tell you that where you are out of control in your life, will you lean? Will you let that be the stepping stone this morning for leaning on what only God can give you, ultimately giving you the gift of the righteousness of His only Son, who was perfect and who died for you on the cross of Calvary, and in whose name we are here this morning, and whose body we see broken before us in these symbols. Broken for you. An alien righteousness. It's not your own. Brothers and sisters, this table is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come to it on His conditions, not mine, not the conditions of Park City's Presbyterian Church, but on the conditions of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are these. You are to be a baptized believer. That is to say, you are to be one who believes that you need the alien righteousness of Christ for your standing before God, that you cannot come to God on your own. Do you believe that? Then you come to this table. If you're a member of a church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is taken seriously, then you come to this table. This is the table of the Lord, made your table by the gift of a righteous Savior who gives you what you can never get yourself. What is only obtainable by leaning on Him in faith and expect this meal to change you. For in the gospel, portrayed visually in these sacraments, in the gospel is the power of the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Lord our God, we come before You this morning needing an alien righteousness that is not of ourselves and needing what only You can give us. Lord, we come by faith and we believe in Jesus Christ as the one who died for our sins, who rose again to glory, who gives to us His own perfect standing before You. Thank You. Thank You, our great God, for the obedience of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for us. And take these gifts that we offer You now. Use these gifts in the strong and sure name of Christ to extend the gospel and the kingdom that bears His name. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.